Amen. Right. Good morning, church. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sarah and band. That was beautiful. My name is Grace, and it is such a delight to be here with you today to worship, and I'm just so happy, and what a warm welcome it's been already. I guess by way of just a little brief personal intro, my name is Grace Wilkinson. I like to consider myself, I'm not a native San Diegan, but I have lived here for about 20 years, so I like to consider myself a local San Diegan by this point. I think I've earned that. I've been here for, I finished my Master's of Divinity from Bethel Seminary, which used to be just a little ways down the road, over 10 years ago, and I was a pastor at Flood Church until about 2020, and since then, I have a little part-time vocational ministry as a spiritual director, where I get to journey one-on-one with people. I get to go kind of just below the surface spiritually and as a spiritual companion with them, helping them kind of hear God's voice, discern God's invitation in their lives, and I really love that journey. I love that process, and when I'm not doing that, you can find me on any number of rooftop restaurants in San Diego, enjoying our typically beautiful city. She's going against the norm today, which is fine. Or I love a good book, or binging any number of good true crime docuseries on streaming. So if you have recommendations, I am always open. I was so honored when Kevin reached out and asked me to be a part of his kind of sabbatical preaching team. Preaching is a great love of mine and definitely something that I've missed since stepping out of full-time ministry. And so I'm honored to be a part of this. Thank you so much for this opportunity. You've already met one of my great ministry friends and preaching partners, Scott Wildy, I believe. He's been here for the past couple weeks. I know he's taking you through a series on Romans 8. Which he is a great person for that. You know, I used to call Scott, when we worked together, I used to call him the professor because he just has such an incredibly, like, encyclopedic knowledge, and he's so wise, and he is a great person to walk you through Romans 8, which, let's just, like, level with each other. Like, it's weighty, and it's heady, and you can just get lost in there with some of the stuff that Paul is going through. So Scott is going to guide you through that so beautifully. You are in such good hands with him. So for our purposes today, what I thought I would do, because I'm such a good friend, is that I'm just going to leave Romans 8 to him. And for us, we're going to step out of that today. One of the things that I love to do when I read scripture, and particularly the Gospels, is I like to remember, right, that when we read these stories, we are reading the stories of real people, right? These are people who lived and breathed and worked, and they had lives, right? They had families, they had relationships, they had dirty dishes in the sink, much like I do right now. They had stuff going on, and I like to look at some of these more kind of under the radar characters or minor characters that don't necessarily get as much attention or as much play. And in particular, I like to look at women in scripture. And I like to look at the relationships that Jesus had with women in scripture, because I think that we can learn a lot about God's heart and God's character and what God values by who Jesus talked to and how Jesus interacted with people in the Gospels. So what I would like to do with you, if you'll let me, for both today and then when I'm with you in a few weeks on June 8th, is I want to zero in on these two kind of very small stories, these little vignettes of this relationship, this friendship with that Jesus had with these two women in Scripture named Martha and Mary, who were sisters. And Jesus just had this really beautiful, tender, loving friendship with these two women. And there's these two stories in particular that display this friendship and display Jesus's heart for these women and Jesus's heart for us through this friendship that I want us to take just a little closer look at. So today we're going to look at the first of these stories, which is in Luke chapter 10. So if we can put up that scripture right now, this is the first time that we meet these characters, and it starts in Luke 10, verse 38. It starts, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" So that's the Lord's word for us today. And we give thanks for the truth and trustworthiness of it. So this passage in particular is probably not very new for a lot of us. If you grew up around church, if you grew up in Sunday school, you know, since we were itty bitty, this is the traditional like Martha versus Mary story, right? This is a story of the devoted versus the distracted, right? This is the cautionary tale that we don't want to get so distracted and caught up with the stressors of life that we miss out on the opportunity to sit with Jesus, right? We don't want to be Martha, we want to be Mary. And that's there's good lesson in that. That's important. We need to learn that, right? But that traditional interpretation, that traditional teaching never felt complete to me. It never sat entirely right for me for a couple reasons. The first is that I didn't actually ever like that it pitted sisters against each other, right? That one was the perfect example and the other is just an uptight nag, right? Like, that doesn't feel great. And I also never liked that that interpretation, that teaching, completely disregards like Martha's experience and what she might be going through in this moment. But when we take a closer look, we actually see that Jesus does not disregard Martha or her experience in this scene, in this vignette. And in fact, he does the opposite. He meets her right where she is with great truth and with great tenderness because he loves her. He's her friend. And so today, we're going to look at this story not as a rebuke of Martha, not as a correction, but in fact, as an invitation, both to Martha and to ourselves, as what it might look like for Jesus to meet Martha and meet us in our overwhelmed, overworked, overstimulated selves. Because I'm not a betting woman, but if I were, I'm guessing that I'm not the only one here today who's feeling maybe just a little bit overwhelmed, overstressed, overworked, overtired, over it, right? So that's actually our first point today. We can put that slide up, that Jesus meets Martha, Jesus meets us in our mess. She comes to him. Where do we find ourselves in the story, right? Jesus and his disciples are passing through Bethany, which is where Martha and Mary live. So they say disciples. We don't actually know how many disciples Jesus is with. We know that there are all kinds of configurations. Jesus could be traveling with anywhere from like 3 to 12 to 72 disciples. So that is a big difference to host, right? And so Jesus is passing through Bethany, and Martha suddenly has unscheduled house guests. And right here, you have lost me. Like, I don't do drop-ins very well. And so what we see here from context as well is that it specifically names Martha as the homeowner, right? This is very unique for first century Judea. Martha owns the home. So what we can tell from the context, right, is that most likely Martha is the eldest sibling. So we have Martha as the homeowner. She's the eldest sibling, most likely, and that Mary probably lives with her, Okay? Now, there's a third sibling. That's Lazarus. He's probably the youngest sibling, although we can't say for sure. Now, he's going to feature in more prominently in the June 8th message. That's called a teaser. Come back for more. Okay? Today, it's more about Martha. But Martha's probably the eldest sibling. So what we have is unexpected house guests, and the hosting duty has fallen to Martha. Mary has checked out. Mary is having a good time. We're happy for her. Hosting duty has fallen to Martha, and she's just feeling it. Like, she's just feeling the weight of it. She's had it. She's stressed out. She's overwhelmed. She's over it. And she comes to Jesus, and she's like, don't you care? Like, I'm freaking out. I'm stressed. My sister's not helping. She is not listening to me. Maybe she'll listen to you. You tell her to help me, and she'll help me. She kind of loses it, right? And how do we see Jesus respond? Jesus meets her in her mess. Like, she's kind of a mess in this moment. Like, we can be honest about that. She's kind of a mess, but in her mess, he meets her with a lot of tenderness and a lot of compassion and not a lot of judgment. He says, Martha, Martha. He says, you are worried and you are upset about many things. What is he actually saying? He's saying, I see you. I see you in this. You are worried and you're upset about many things. He doesn't judge her. He doesn't scold her. He doesn't tell her to get it together. He doesn't tell her to figure it out. He actually also doesn't, if you'll notice, problem solve for her. He doesn't say, okay, I'll mediate or I'll talk to Mary or I'll figure it out. You know, no. He says, I see you. You're upset and you're worried about many things. Now, here's what I find really interesting. When we read scripture, we can't make it mean more than it says, right? Like, we can't read into scripture more than what it tells us. I don't know what's going on in Martha's life, but it sure reads to me like Jesus is talking about more than just hosting this group of people, right? I don't know what's going on in Martha's life, but Jesus does. I don't know everything that's going on in your life, but Jesus does. And today Jesus is saying to you and to me, I see you. You are worried and upset and stressed and freaking out about many things, and I see you. But let's be honest, right? He doesn't leave it there. He says, but few things are needed, indeed only one. And we can go to our second point here. He gets to the heart of the issue, right? He doesn't leave her there. He says, few things are needed, indeed only one. He says, you're kind of missing the point, right? Few things are needed, indeed, only one. So what's happening here is that Martha is complaining, right? And she's blaming Mary for feeling stressed out, which I get it. I'd be annoyed too. I'd probably be complaining too. But she's stressed out and she's blaming and complaining. Now let me tell you a story about when my spiritual director hurt my feelings. I've been seeing my own spiritual director for over 10 years. It's one of the most truly important relationships in my life. There's been a lot of important growth, important healing, spiritual parenting, reparenting that's gone on in that relationship. One day, I was sitting with her, and I was upset about something. I don't remember what. I would tell you. And I was mid-rant, and she stopped me, and she looked me in the eyes, and she said, Grace, anytime we are blaming or complaining, we are not dealing with the real issue. Anytime we are blaming or complaining, we are not dealing with the real issue. I wanted the real issue to be out there. I wanted it to be somebody else's deal, somebody else's problem that had happened to me, poor baby, right? But she was 100% right. I was not dealing with the real issue. Martha is not dealing with the real issue. And Jesus is very gently, right? Very tenderly telling her the same truth, right? You're worried about all this external stuff, but you're actually missing the real thing, the one thing that is needed. And it's not a judgment, it's an invitation. He's saying, you're missing it, Martha. And what he's actually pointing to is himself. He's saying, you're missing me. I am right here, and you are missing me. Don't miss me. Don't miss me, please. In response to Martha's frustration, even when she's like being a little snippy, right? In response to her frustration, in response to her annoyance, in response to her freak out, he doesn't pile on guilt. He doesn't demand more from her. In truth, in tenderness, he redirects her to what matters most, which is himself. The one thing that matters most is himself. And he invites her to not miss out on him. And that's our last point today. That in a world that often asks for more from us, right? And that can be our jobs, and that can be our families, and that can be our churches, that can be all kinds of things that often asks for more from us. Jesus offers his presence for us. Offers himself for us. Only one thing is needed. You know, I think what I find really interesting here is that the chapter ends here. The story ends here. And when chapter 11 picks up, it is a new story. And it's a new day. So we don't know how this story resolves. Like, does Jesus, like, do the dishes? Like, does he say, like, hey, everybody, like, let's pitch in. Everybody pick up a chair, you know? Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know how this story ends. But what I think the beauty is that we can trust that Jesus takes care of her. Why? Because he loves her. Because he sees her. He sees her in her mess. He meets her there. In his tenderness, in his care for her, in his love for her, in his deep knowledge of not only who she is and what she's going through, but also what she really needs, he invites her to actually receive and experience the one thing that she really needs the most. That's what he offers to Martha, and that's what he offers to you and I today and every day. So that is what I would love us to spend a little bit of time in reflective prayer with today, is what is the one thing that you need most from Jesus today? So I just invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads, and just reflect. Jesus, what do I need today? Maybe it is an outpouring of Jesus' love. A sense of Jesus' assurance and affirmation. Maybe it's a reminder of his presence and nearness. Maybe it's to be reminded that Jesus is gentle with you and kind. Do you need Jesus' tenderness? Perhaps it's his protection or peace. Whatever it is, I invite you to just reflect on it and in the quietness of your heart, say, Jesus, I need your blank. And in a moment, I will close us in prayer. Jesus, like Martha, many of us this morning are upset, anxious, worried about many things, seen and unseen, known and unknown, named and unnamed, but you see and know them all. And so today we do ask you, God, to be the one thing that is truly needed, the one thing that we ask for. The one thing that you alone can provide for us. Jesus, today and this week, may we be reminded of your tender love and the way that you bring us to truth because of that love, because of your kindness and your gentleness, and because of the ways that you want to bring us to greater freedom, to greater truth, to greater freedom and kindness for ourselves and for others. We thank you and we love you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.